Well, hello and welcome to a new episode of Considering Some Things. That guy over there is Keith Cox. Hello, Woo-hoo! Keith.
Hey, Mark. How's it going there, buddy? And of course, that guy with that cool voice is the amazing Mark Storr. And
wow, that was quite an introduction. I like that. Really? Am I amazing? Do you think?
No, you're a dull man, and that's why I love you so much, man.
I am a dull man.
Which, by the way, just to mention, this episode of our podcast is sponsored by Reed's Remedies. Reed's Remedies is a hemp CBD company that specializes in targeted and predictable wellness products with the highest quality standards in the industry. Reed's CBD products are created with steam distilled and organically grown hemp to bring you easy to use products that won't get you high. With effective oral sprays and balms, Reed's Remedies products include those that aid us with sleep, stress, detox, relief, and lots more. So go to reedsremedies.com, use discount code CS20, and that'll get you a 20% discount plus free shipping available through September 30th, 2020.
So which is the day that this is being broadcast. So you basically have today, my friends, it's CST20. If you don't do it today, you don't get the Considering Some Things discount. You must do it today. Act now.
Wow. That was harsh.
Hey, come on. It's a podcast. People can listen to the podcast and go to Reed's Remedies and order their appropriate CBDs. We're also brought to you by Nabu Wines. Nabu Wines in Westlake Village, California. Full disclosure, I've done some work for my good friends Greg Barnett and Jeff Bailey, producing some of the great, great crafted wines out of Malibu Hills Estates area, AVA, as well as Napa Valley, making some beautiful blends as well as some great varietals. Look, I fuss about wine. I talk about wine. I write about wine. I drink wine with Keith to the point where we couldn't tell you what we're drinking anymore sometimes. But I, the fact is I'm a wine consumer like you, and I like good wine. And Greg is making some great wine at Malibu Wines. So, at Nabu Wines. So, so you ought to buy them. And you can go to nabuwines.com, N-A-B-U-Wines.com, and you type in Nabu 15, and you get a 15% discount.
Nice.
So get some wine.
Let's do that.
Get some
wine. By the way, Reed's Remedies, free shipping's through September 30th. It's only the 19th, Mark, so you got plenty of time to
get
free shipping. September 30th?
Okay. Let's see
I get it.
Let's see if Keith understands the basis of the podcast.
I'm walking away. Look at me.
This is not live, my friend.
I forgot.
We're recording on September
30th. Where am I? Hold me. Somebody hold me.
You
I'm
need to
frightened.
Be
held. Okay, also we do have another sponsor, which is the 805 Musician Network. The 805 Musician Network is a Facebook group designed for all local musicians on the Central Coast of California, anybody in the 805, for musicians only. And the point is, of course, for musicians to help other musicians. And in there, they talk about how to get gigs, what gigs are really good, what are not good, but also anybody looking for a project, you're trying to get into a band, something like that, or selling your gear or trying to buy gear. It's a great place just for musicians. 805 Musician Network on Facebook.
Gigging musicians, gigging musicians.
Speaking of
gigs as musicians. And speaking of gigging musicians, introduce the man.
Well, one of my favorite guys in the whole wide world, FM, also known as Mel DeSembrana. Mel, how you doing, buddy?
Mel,
how are you, brother?
Mel, I'm
good, man.
I haven't seen you since yesterday.
It's been forever, man.
It is, man.
Did you guys play yesterday?
No, we had a hangout.
Ah, nice. Very nice. Mel, you are a guitar player, and you also, I believe, play piano. Am I right?
Yeah, I'm primarily a guitar player, but I did learn music and learn how to play the piano first.
Do you write on piano first, or do you write on guitar first? Like when you're sitting down to write a song or write music or put music together, do you ever sit at a piano and work it out first?
You know, I lately it's mostly on guitar. Years ago, I've tinkered on the piano and put some stuff down there, but lately it's the guitar. Very lately cool. Being like the last 25 years.
Yeah, so Mel was like really a kid. He had his, sort of your parents made you take piano, is that correct?
Yeah, you know, it's one of those things, you're 8 or 9 years old and you're going to take piano lessons.
Yeah, I remember those days. And yeah. I only ask that because, it's such an odd time. And the whole basis of this podcast from the beginning has been to talk about creativity in a time when us creative types have a tougher time getting our word out there. And so my goal was to get that done. And then I saw an opportunity to kind of get Keith on here and be even more creative. And we've done that. But as we talk to people, and particularly musicians who are during this time, there isn't one musician who we've talked to yet who has said, "Oh yeah, everything's great. I'm just doing things the way I always did them." All of them have had their worlds rocked a little bit, and as a result, it's messed with their creativity. Are you finding that too?
Creativity-wise, I think it's still there. I think what's really been rocked is the ability to play live music right now.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
So I think that's the main thing that's been hit the hardest. Personally, I've actually been sitting down and just what I haven't been doing in a while is just kind of putting some tracks down and having fun with that. I bought a little digital audio workstation.
Oh, nice!
Just so I can put stuff down.
That is cool.
Keith, and you've never done anything like that. How come you've never done anything like that?
The only thing, well,
you're too busy playing video games, aren't you?
I'm playing video games a lot. That's right. So back off. You're not the boss of me. No. So every time I do a new song, and again, I'm not laying down tracks or anything, but I'll immediately put it on YouTube because that's supposed to kind of mark that.
Interesting.
It's your song. Yeah. If it's dated, this is my date, you can see when I first recorded the song. Then it's supposed to, I don't know how true this is. You have to really talk to lawyers, but it gives you some sort of protection against, trademark.
Being taken, yeah.
People.
If that's true, we ought to put our podcast on YouTube, but I don't think anyone wants to. Does anyone here vote to show their faces during podcast? No, I'm not voting for that.
No, but not change the subject. You know that Amazon is now starting podcasting.
I saw that. I'll be interested to see that. And, look, if we feel that they're worthy of us, we might deign to let them broadcast us.
What do you think, Mel? Should we go on the Amazon, buddy?
Your guys' call.
You just don't play along, Mel. That's the whole
you
problem.
You don't
right?
play along.
Get on Amazon, guys. Come on.
That's what's funny about Mel. When it comes to Mel, that's the amazing thing and why I love this guy so much. I've played with a lot of guitarists and everything like that, but there was something uniquely intuitive about Mel when we play. And when we started, he just didn't know a lot of my music, but I just happened to, hey, it's in this key and we're going to run with it. And we've always played well off each other, I think. Would you say that, Mel?
Yeah. Yeah, and I kind of like, that's kind of my style, basically.
Yeah.
What are you playing? What key is it in? What's the chord structure? Let's go.
It's funny that you say that because as an observer, and I've only seen you guys play together once or twice, actually, but I've watched you on videos of various kinds. And Mel, this is one thing that you and I have talked about before just ever so briefly, which is that I really am impressed with the way that you do that. You're very improvisational, but it's not... I don't think it can compare anybody to the great Jimi Hendrix, but I was watching a video of Hendrix play Voodoo Child at a festival somewhere shortly before his own death in 1970. I think it was the same thing. His band, all three guys, just knew what the chord structure was going to be and then let Jimmy be Jimmy. And I get this sense that you have a similar kind of thing. You played the... Mel did a blazing solo. I think you have it on video somewhere, Keith, Prince's Purple Rain.
Oh, Purple Rain, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. And one of the recordings of it is just, Mel's just, I mean, it's not quite Prince, but it's awfully close.
And that's funny. And that evolved from me just doing a bluesy solo version of it, right?
Yeah.
And then Mel playing with me and then him just like, no, we're going to open the floodgates here. And, it went from me just being the featured thing to now the feature of that song is Mel. and no I question. Mean that sincerely. Yeah. It's like what he does is just so cool. And just
smoking.
That layer. And funny you're mentioning Jimi Hendrix, because you know yesterday was the anniversary.
I did not know that.
Of his passing. Yeah, that's I was going to say, hey, Mel, tell him what we were doing yesterday.
Wow.
Yeah, we were hanging out. A friend of ours, a big Jimi Hendrix fan. And
Gary. I know Gary.
Yeah.
That's who we're
big,
hanging out with.
Big Gary of Santa Maria. You're a Santa Maria person, you know Gary because he's a DJ. He plays often at Costa de Oro, right?
And yes, he does. And not just a DJ. He is a vinyl DJ.
Yes.
So thrown what he does. And it's thrilling that he's doing that. And if you see his loadout on all the albums and stuff he's bringing to his gigs, it is the coolest thing.
Nice. So
we'll have to have him in one day and chat.
Mel, do you let's talk about your influences then. I think every guitarist has to count Jimi Hendrix somewhere along the way.
Definitely Hendrix is in there. But the whole reason I started playing guitar was when I started listening to Led Zeppelin.
Yeah,
I was in junior high, and I heard the guitar, I heard the music, and was like, that's what I want to do.
Yep.
Yeah. You know, at the time, you're like, you start learning. It's like, I don't know if I'll ever get that good, but that's what I want to do.
Isn't that okay? New thread of conversation, and sorry, I'm changing subjects on you, because that's exactly it. All three of us are, shall we say, men of a certain age. And and when music hit us, and as well as any other number of things, what hit me as well as music, and music did hit me, but aviation hit me. I became an aviation fanatic and an aviation geek. I could have sworn I was going to become a pilot. There's a whole long story to that. But here's the thing. When we were kids, there wasn't this sense. We got passionate about something. And I talk to kids today because of my career as a teacher. And kids will find something to get passionate about. And you know what their first response to that is? Gee, I don't know if I could do that. Do you remember saying to yourself, I never said, gee, I don't know if I could do that. It was just, wow, that's really cool. I'd like to pursue that. I think we had more optimism when we were kids. Am I wrong?
Probably true. I mean, I don't know. For me, it was I wanted to play guitar. I use that as my example.
So you did play guitar.
Yeah. I started from, getting the right fingerings for the right chords and strumming and make sure you strum right. And, and then, of course, rock and roll. Once you learn your first three chords, you're a rock star pretty much.
There you go. True. I'm still using those same three chords.
All I've got is a red guitar, three chords, and the truth.
And the truth.
See, but there's this difference between, again, Mel and myself, because, I play guitar, but I do not consider myself a guitarist. Mel.
Neither do we, Keith.
Yeah. Well, yeah, there you go. Thank you. but a lot of people don't get that. They don't get that. And they're like, oh, but you play guitar. Why don't you do that? I'm like, I'm no Mel, and I'm not even close to that level. Not even close.
Yeah,
and I never planned
thing.
To be. Yeah. My mind was to, I played to accompany the singing thing, and that it works well for me. But, but Mel is there to really bring, such a neat dynamic to any song. You have to have a Mel. You have to have... And specifically in FM.
You also have to have what Mel has. And I'm guessing you have other guitars too, but you play a Strat.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's my favorite guitar. Why do you play a Strat?
Well, about 30 years ago, I was driving through LA, and the Guitar Center had this radio broadcast saying, hey, Strats are on sale today. I forgot what it cost, but it was like...
No way.
and they were saying, not a Squire Strat, a real Strat. So I had to drive in. I had to drive in and look.
Nice. And I walked out.
I walked out with that Strat that I still play today.
The black and white one that you bought that 30 years ago?
Yeah.
That's the best guitar story ever. Driving around through, because you lived in LA at the time.
I lived in LA, yeah. So
it's not like you were just cruising through. You were. It was home territory.
Right, yeah. Actually, I think I was already living up here, but I happened to be there for the weekend. So on my way out, and I heard it, and I was like, I know where the closest Guitar Center is. I'm going.
Listening, no doubt, to the mighty blowtorch of KLOS.
Yeah.
All of us who grew
still
up
do
on
when
West
I go down
Coast.
There.
Yep. Oh, so we also remember KMET.
KMET 94 point. Little bit of heaven, 94.7.
KMET.
Tweedledee. I love those.
I miss that station.
I love the competition between them. And, you know,
that was the
best.
We would
switch between them both all the time.
And the DJs would go back and forth.
Right, right.
And Frazier Smith was on KMET.
Frazier Smith was KMET.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
He was that wacky morning comedy guy.
Yeah. You know, I have to be honest. I think that I've had this running discussion, and I mentioned this on a previous podcast and talking to Keith, and I've lived in California for 45 years, but I grew up in those very formative first 10 years in the Midwest on the East Coast, and I've never really felt truly at home in LA or in Southern California. But I have to tell you, when I think of the little nitty gritty pieces, like the soundtrack to my life, KLOS, and like meeting Keith and like meeting my wife, and it's apparent to me that the center of the universe that I grew up in is indeed my center of the universe. I don't love Los Angeles, but I'll tell you, there's some great stuff here, and KLOS and KMET were one of them.
Absolutely.
Where
where were you raised? I think it was actually LA, if I'm not correct, right? Or close to it.
Yeah, I was in a part of LA called Gardena, but actually we lived on the east side of Vermont Avenue, which meant that we were in the LA, it was called the LA Strip. It's a little strip of land that comes out of downtown LA and runs all the way to the harbor.
Oh boy. Yep. I know right where that is.
So though, you know, I went to the Gardena schools, the area we lived in was part of LA. So I was in the city of LA.
So we were born and raised pretty much. You went to San Francisco for a while as well, am I correct? Or?
I did end up in the Bay Area when I graduated from high school, but I spent most of my up through that point in Gardena. Yeah, yeah.
That's so. His way of saying he doesn't want to talk about San Francisco, man. Something happened there. Just leave the guy alone, all right? Something.
Well, that is drastic, though, if you think about it, going from LA to
something went down in San Francisco.
There was a different culture up there in the year that
I was
there.
Tell us all about it, Mel. What was it like? Was it full of lollipops and friendship and reading books and things like
Grateful
that?
Grateful Dead and hippies.
It was fun. Yeah, I mean, there were a lot more. I didn't know a lot of guitar players in L.A. when I was learning. Well, I knew a few. I had some friends learning the guitar about the same time as me. When I went up to the school I went to in the Bay Area, there were a lot of – the vibe was different. I mean, you were talking about the soundtrack of L.A., soundtrack of the Bay Area was, you know, I mean, that's where the Grateful Dead came from. Journey was big at the time. There's a lot of, it was different. People walked around the hallways in high school with an acoustic guitar around them. It's like, you know, you didn't see that in LA.
No. Although I do remember that at El Camino Real High School, Keith. There were a lot, you know, High School, when Keith and I went through there together, we went the same time. Now, think about this. Here's what was happening when we were in high school. The kids that came out in our class, some of them friends of ours, I knew all these guys. First of all, was William Zabka, who is still a good friend of my family's and my brother's one of his closest friends. The Karate Kid. He was Johnny Lawrence on the Karate Kid. He's doing Cobra Kai now. Another great friend was Angelo Moore, leader of the band Fishbone. And Walter Kibbe. And then also Greg Grafton, the lead singer of Bad Religion.
Bad Religion. There you go.
So, I mean, El Camino was full of Hollywood types.
Oh my God. Well, we were in the San Fernando Valley. It was just, I mean, I also remember, you know, me and Phil DeLeo always, you know, sneaking away, you know, at the whiskey or whatever, you know, because I had.
Did you guys do that? You got to go down? Oh, I didn't.
Oh, God,
know
dude.
That.
Yeah. I had Doug Snyder's old, his driver's license. Funniest story in the world. So, you know, I'm 16 or whatever, or 15. And I have this driver's license that looks nothing like me, by the way. Doug Snyder was like 5'6" with broken teeth, and he's smiling in it. All I had to do was look at the picture and know.
It wasn't you.
That's not you, dude. They never did. They look at the date and say, okay. And, you know, we'd go see, you know, shows at the Whiskey.
Do you remember who you saw? Did you see anybody big?
Oh, God. Well, we saw, I have, of course, Soft White Underbelly, which at the, you know.
Oh, yeah.
I think Madness played there.
Wow.
That show. And there was a few others. I don't know. I was, you know.
You were young and stupid.
I was young and very stupid in many ways.
Yeah, I can
but
understand.
Good times. Good times. Good times for sure.
Mel, did you do college in San Francisco? Is that what we were talking about? You did college there?
I ended up coming back to L.A.
You did. Okay.
I did the junior college thing for a bit at L.A. Harbor, and then ended up at Cal Poly Pomona.
Oh, okay, great. Yeah. Now, did you find any other fellow musicians at the colleges?
You know, that was kind of my how do I say it? I still had my guitar, and I would pick it up from time to time, but I didn't play it as much during my college days as I did before and then after. But so it was kind of a little dead time for guitar for me.
Yeah. I played bass guitar in a band during college and then after for a few years and really leading up even to the time I got married. But after I got married, it's funny. I still love music and I still think about playing it, but it doesn't light a fire under me like it does you guys. And I've always found it interesting that it used to light a fire under me. It used to be something I loved. And now I look at it, I love listening to it. It's funny. I was talking with my older brother and he says that he's at a point where he just doesn't listen to music much anymore. And I'm like, wow, I'm not at that point, man. I listen to a lot of music. I like listening to music and it really gives me energy. It also gives me solace. I love it. But I don't play it like you guys, and I don't know, maybe I'd like to, but I certainly wouldn't like to play live because I'm going to be that guy. I'm going to be the loose fitting jeans guy with sort of shaped like a pear, sort of pursing his lips and blowing his cheeks out while he's trying to remember notes.
Here on the Central Coast, Mark, there's so many dad bands.
Dad bands!
You'd fit right in. So I don't know what you're stressing about, buddy, because I can pick out a few dad bands, right, and they're in their shorts and flip-flops, and you're like, yeah. Stuff I rage against, like you'll never catch
Blue Oyster Cult.
Exactly. Now, Mel, what was your Mel? So you jumped into music hardcore again, I think, with your first band, if I'm not correct, or this was when you're in Vandenberg, right? Or was there a band before that?
No, actually, that was. It took me a while to get into a band after I started playing. So it was probably it was when I lived in the area up here. And so we put a '90s band together, and it was kind of a mix of guys. We had a singer that liked a lot of bluegrass. We had a bass player who was really more of a rhythm guitar player, but he moved to bass because he saw I could play better. Sorry, Andy. And then a drummer who's kind of a country guy. And we put all these pieces together. We wrote some songs. We played a bunch of 90s tunes around the area. And those other guys were military at the time.
Yeah,
they were. And I worked with them and we put this band together. And then after a couple of years, they had to move on to different jobs and whatnot. But
there's a band is never going to last because they're all going to get
shipped out.
Yeah. But, we recorded a CD all those years ago and still have it. I'm still I still listen to it every now and then these days. And it was fun. They were actually fairly solid songs. And it was a good time. Now all these years later, I could definitely go back and tweak some things in my playing, but other than that, I think the songs stand out pretty well. I think I gave you one of those CDs, Keith, one time.
Yeah, I've got it somewhere floating around here.
Yeah.
Isn't that the key to it though? Is it's supposed to be fun, right? If it's not fun, what's the point? And we're losing sight of that again. I think during this time, I think a lot of people are so focused on the almost the survival mode, not quite, not like they have to go and hunt and gather, but they're focused on the day to day. You've got to make time for some fun, and music's fun.
Oh, it is. Absolutely. And funny thing with all this, the stay at home part now with the COVID thing. So I still keep in touch with, that bass player I told you about, in that first band. And so he lives out in the Boston area.
Oh, nice.
Wow.
And he's doing some recordings now and we're shooting, with the technology today, he can shoot some music to me. I could put a lead track on it, send it back to him. And so we're doing stuff like that.
Nice. Excellent. See, that's the way it should be.
Yeah. And that's fun. It's still fun because it's still creative and, I can still do my thing on different sounds that come out.
Well, you know,
that we put together.
I think technology is the thing that, I mean, can you imagine if this had happened, if this pandemic had happened like in 1991, you know, the World Wide Web wasn't strong enough to really handle what we were doing, what we're doing now. And yet really by the late 90s and early 2000s, you had rock bands doing just that, right? They would record at different places. You'd have, you know, the Rush used to do that. They would be in the same place, but sometimes two of the guys would record their tracks, you know, in the afternoon, and later that evening, the other guy would come in and record. We can do that now. You guys ought to think about that. It's time to start planning the CD for different strings.
Well, yeah. You know, I do have some originals, but, you know, I never really seriously, other than threw them on YouTube, just to some strange reason, think that's protecting my copyright. I think we've played, Mel, you've played it. You've done a couple of my songs.
I think. When you start playing it, I watch you play it, listen to it, and then I'll put something on top of it.
I give you the nod, and he'll throw his little lead in there, and it works really well. Yeah, I don't do it near as much, I got to admit, and I kind of stopped writing. But I mean, I got enough songs technically, so I don't know. Maybe we should do that. What do you think, Mel?
Yeah, well, I'm down.
Mel's just going to noodle on top of them anyway, my friend.
Yeah,
that's all he's going to do.
Yeah, you mentioned YouTube. I another thing that I did during this time is I early on, like back in March, April timeframe, I just recorded me playing guitar to a looping rhythm track.
Oh, nice.
And then, I saw that.
I videoed them and I put them on YouTube, and I did about four of them before I got bored doing them. But it was fun. I had never done that before, but this quarantine stuff, it makes you think about doing things. So.
Well, and that's just it. You're doing what you kind of need to do. Right. So my wondering is because you're a live musician, and I guess this is for both of you, but let's let Mel answer.
Yeah.
No, I'm kidding. But
you hurt me again.
I've been slashing at you all day, haven't I? I am so sorry. Listen, let me give you.
I only love you, Mel. I don't love Mark.
But you guys work so well together. This is entertaining for me.
Well, as long as we're entertaining you, man. That's
what am I, your clown? Do I amuse
you?
How am I funny? How am I funny? Anyway, go ahead.
But Mel, do you sense that coming out of this, and I'm going to hope and pray to God or whatever deity you choose, that we are going to come out of this sometime in the very near future? Do you see, how do I put it? Do you see sort of an explosion of creativity coming out, or do you feel like what's going to happen is you're just going to kind of, like all we will all do, crawl back out and just start doing what you used to do? You're writing things and you're recording things. Are you going to start changing the way you do things at all, you think, based on what's happened?
Yeah, I think it'd be a mix. I'd sure love to get out and play live again.
Mm-hmm.
If it becomes like it used to, that'd be great. But yeah, I have this other avenue, if you will, to explore the creative side and do that. And I just haven't done that much really in the last, I can't even put years on it, but
yeah, right.
But it's something that I wish I had done more earlier as well. So,
well, you've got some time now.
And what's cool with Mel is because of his talent, guys like him, everybody wants. So, and Mel's in a few projects, right? Tell us, Mel, about your projects.
Tell us about your other band.
You don't even have to talk about different strings unless you want to. I mean, you don't have to talk
different
about
strings. Is fine. We've talked. We have talked about that. Mark's been out to see us, so he knows what that's all about.
Leave that behind us.
That's a fun band with you and Chris, and
we have a great time.
It's fun, and it's what I'll say about that band is that we've never sat down and had a band practice.
Ever.
That just makes me laugh so hard every time I hear you guys say it. So what they're saying, good ladies and gentlemen, is that Mel and Keith have been playing together for a few years now, along with two other guys, usually just one other guy, Chris, who plays percussion. Mm-hmm. But they also have a bass player who sits in once in a while. and they have never practiced. And I swear to you, it does not show. This is the thing I'm saying. You hear some of their renditions of songs and you go, wow, is that good? And then you realize they've never sat down and actually hashed it out. They just simply went, oh yeah, we'll play it that way.
We kind of know how the songs go, and we do stage communication with the eyes and the nods, and
there is a lot of it works. it's funny when we say that, because a lot of people don't believe it, and they're like, no, we've never really practiced. But when you have great musicians, and I'm precluding myself on that one, they snap in so quick, and Mel has always been just the snapping guy. So you know, I'm not saying, hey, if you know, we don't need to practice, but we kind of don't need to practice.
But just think if we did. Just think if we did.
Holy moly.
Imagine what could happen if you actually were rehearsing.
Now, I think we would have more songs, that's for sure. That's the negative.
Yeah.
It's very easy to get rest on your laurels a little bit.
So, Mel, what's the name of the other band? What's the second band you play with?
So I have a band that I started about 7 years. I shouldn't say I started it. It's with my wife. It's called Anything's Possible.
That's so cool.
And we played, I want to say about the last 7 years. Well, prior to this year.
Yeah, right.
But we did the same with Keith. We did a live feed for the Downtown Fridays thing this year. So. So, you know, we have at least one gig during this,
pandemic.
Yeah,
the live feed, let's talk about that. I don't think we've mentioned that yet. So Santa Maria, is it the city that holds this?
Yeah, I believe it is. Yes,
it is.
The city of Santa Maria holds a Friday night kind of gathering. And even during COVID, they're kind of doing a socially distanced version where they're broadcasting it on local cable channels, and Different Strings was able to play a set about an hour. Is that right, guys?
Yeah. And they include commercials and everything like that. They just call it a virtual set. So, and we have to, you know, thank sponsors and all that good stuff. So it's kind of interesting.
We'll be right back with Neil Diamond, ladies and gentlemen. So Mel, you've been able to do that twice now with both bands.
Yeah. And I think we, both bands have one more coming up each. So
yeah.
Well, great. So that'd be fun. Yeah.
You're going to get quite the reputation. It's like, well, that guy plays all the time. He plays with different bands.
Oh yeah. I call him
he's a swinger.
He's a guitar slut is what he is.
He's a guitar whore.
The guitar whore.
Mel
that's
Lee.
In the past.
He giggled because it's true.
Yeah.
It used to be really bad in the past. I've learned to like my weekends when I get them. So
yeah, that's a good point.
Well, you get you got to get a business card, and it should just say Melly D guitar whore. And I'll even make it for you if you want.
It's not going to be Melly D though.
It's going to be Melly D.
It's going to be FM. I don't know where you're getting Melly D. That sounds like he's some sort of
he's a rap artist. Yeah.
Rap artist. Yeah.
Yo yo yo.
I think Melly D is the right way to go. And I think that if you were to listen to me on this, you'd probably be a lot more famous than you are now.
Is that M-E-L-L-Y-D?
No, it's M-E-L period E period D.
Oh, look at that.
Melly D. See?
Spelled it out. Nice.
Okay. Then everybody just think, what's the E stand for? Electric.
Well, I don't want to say that the E and the D are connected in any way. Okay. So, yeah, you don't want that.
Well, maybe I don't like that one.
Very good. Mel picked up on that. Keith is still lost. He's still in the corner looking for that joke.
I'm trying to figure out his card, which is going to say FM on it, just simply FM. And below that, guitar god.
Or guitar whore.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's a good point. Everybody wants a guitar whore.
Absolutely.
Sure, I'll play for you. What do you want?
It's one of the best things you can be.
Well, and aren't you recording some music? You're, Mel, doing some originals for Pam. I'm forgetting. I apologize.
Yeah.
Nice
Pam
nice
Fisher.
Lady.
Yeah. She had some originals, and we actually went to a studio out in the Hollister Ranch area. And recorded 5 songs for an EP kind of thing.
Oh, that's
so
nice.
That was fun. I hadn't been in a real studio in, gosh, almost 25 years, I want to say. But it's been a long time.
And so
but it was cool. Yeah.
You got to do that during this time, during the pandemic.
Yeah. It got delayed a little bit. We were supposed to go back, and I think it was supposed to be in March, and then the quarantine stuff happened. And so about June is when stuff started to open up again around summertime. And so we squeezed in that time to get in the studio and just go ahead and do that. And it was fun. I really enjoyed it.
Is it released yet? Is it out?
No, not at this time. The guy who was doing the recording is actually Jeff Bridges, guitar player.
Wow.
And he's got a studio out in the hills there by off Gaviota. But it was really interesting.
Around it. I didn't realize there's studios up there. That's awesome. That's a beautiful.
Well, place. It's in his house. He's got a little studio in the back of his house there. Nice. But so it was a.
We call that a rich guy studio.
It's a rich man studio. Oh, that's very cool. So you really are. You're getting to play. You're getting to be creative and getting that outlet and being able to do it.
Yeah. And I really enjoy it. And I love to play. I pick up my guitar. I try to pick it up at least 5 minutes a day, which sometimes turns into an hour or more. But as long as I pick it up at least once a day, even if it's just a tinker, you know, just to play something, get my fingers moving. I feel I have to, but I love it. That's why I sure, feel I have right. to.
Yeah, absolutely.
And
I mentioned my friend Andy in Boston. So he's, he's recording stuff and he's got a little project going there and he's hitting me up for guitar stuff here and there. And so I've been trading tracks with him, which is really interesting and fun.
That would be. I think that'd even be more fun than it's a nice creative outlet. And it's also like a teachable moment for all of us. You have to be able to kind of find new outlets. And the number one thing that frightens me about the pandemic is people being frightened into a kind of, lack of action, and just inaction is really dangerous to the human being. What worries me all the time is particularly among musicians, writers. I can't tell you how many writers I've spoken to, and we've spoken to quite a few on this show, who have just experienced a kind of writer's block because they just start getting overwhelmed with everything that's happening. But I think part of the key to this is, just like it normally is, pick up the pen, pick up the guitar, one note, one word, one letter at a time, play.
Yeah, I think there's a lot to that. That's very true, yeah. I mean, just, sometimes the creativity isn't there and you're playing or you're writing something or whatever it is you do. And it's like, it seems like the same old thing, but from that, you never know what could come out of that.
Now more than ever, the world needs us to be creative, because creativity will build on itself. It never fails. It always does. And we need to keep that momentum going. We cannot lose that. It's almost a harbinger call. It has to happen. We cannot give up now.
My God, this episode is just making me feel guilty.
You've been sitting around drinking coffee.
Just ask me how creative I've been.
You have not.
No, I drink coffee and I play video games. I've got a gig tomorrow, and I know my fingers are going to hurt because I haven't been playing my guitar at all. That's how horrible I surround myself with, the FMs and the Chris Rex, two amazing people who can go far. I mean, yeah, seriously amazing players, and it just makes me look good because I'm in my band, funny, my band, but I am the weak link in my band, and it's great. I love it.
It's better to know your strengths, my friend.
I do, buddy. I fully recognize, as does Mel. He knows my weaknesses and knows how to exploit, bring out the good sides. He goes, I'm just going to cover that up with my great guitar playing. And that's how it works.
Well, and the other side of that is you are working on a podcast currently. So there's a little creativity that you have.
Yeah.
That's very true. Yeah.
I just forgot that we weren't live. I had no.
You did forget that, and I have to wonder about that.
I thought it was a great gotcha. Like, what's wrong with you, Mark? What are you talking about? What are you, a moron? It's the 19th. Wow. I mean, I knew you had a couple of weeks away from your wife, and you're going stir crazy. But I'm like, wow, he's really lost it.
Ooh. Man, I am, today is the day, by the way. By the time this episode drops, my wife will have been home for about 10 days. And she's been gone for a month. She's coming home this evening. And I've cleaned the house from top to bottom. I have to tell you, I am sitting in, we have a couple of chairs. I have a recliner on one side of the room and then kind of a smaller recliner on the other side of the room. The smaller recliner sort of has this back support and it helps you sit up straight. And I've been using it nonstop since yesterday because I mopped the floors yesterday. I woke up this morning with pain in my sides and in my back, the kind of pain that I really couldn't place a finger on, but it was there. And I'm like, oh my God, I've got COVID. I've got COVID. I've heard it starts with pain in your back. I know I'm sick. And I'm like, oh no, wait, I mopped the floor. Never mind.
So
you were using muscles you've never used before.
Never used, yeah. Right.
So let me tell my old guy story. So having not taught CPR classes in a while.
Oh no.
We are doing a COVID kind of hands-on. You have to do hands-on to get your AHA certification. And so what we do is we socially distance everybody. And I still do demonstrations and kneeling down, pushing on the dummy and everything like that. I got up and my knee almost gave out on me. And then it hurt the rest of, this was yesterday. It hurt
yesterday.
All day long. This was yesterday. And I'm like, and I'm walking, you know, hobbling. I was sitting on a couch. We're watching some Jimi Hendrix stuff. And I get up to fix me another drink. And I'm like,
why do I hurt?
I hurt my knee. I mean, my left knee was killing me. And I'm like, oh, God. I was like, oh, my God, what did I? And I'm trying to think, what did I do to hurt my knee?
And you know what the problem is for men like us, men of a certain age, the problem is that happens to us, particularly if it happens near a weekend. And then we say, well, you know what? I'll have, you know, a glass of wine or I'll have a beer or whatever, a cocktail. And that just makes it worse.
Yeah, sometimes
it doesn't help. It just kind of, it's a Band-Aid for the moment. And then it just all hell breaks loose. It's terrible.
Thank God for naproxens. Took a couple of those.
Yeah, there's that. Mel Disimbrana, you are a good man for joining us here on the show, and your guitar prowess is mighty on the Central Coast. We can't wait
mighty.
To pop back out into the world again and play some songs and make Keith look better than he actually is. That's a real gift.
And I'm throwing this out, Mel, if you want to hang out tomorrow, you know, I'm at Costa Doro. I'm just saying.
You know, I might visit.
You know,
with your Stratocaster.
Though he has Strat, will travel. He does not leave without it, I don't think.
Ooh, last minute question. Mel, do you play the acoustic guitar at all in the band, or is that just for you?
Oh, yeah, I have an acoustic, but in any band, whatever band I play with, it's always electric. I've never actually played an acoustic in a band that I can think of.
Interesting. Okay.
And it looks weird when he's playing acoustic. It just doesn't fit him. I know we did an outdoor jam a little while ago, and it was all acoustic to keep things down, you know, the levels. And there's Mel, you know, just doing, cutting off leads on an acoustic. I can see he's just, I'm not enjoying this at all.
It doesn't feel right, but it's still playing the guitar. So
it's just a slightly less amount of fun.
He's like, all right, I'll take it. You know, I didn't order pepperoni with my pizza, but all right. That's going to was all right. I'll eat it.
Well, it's great to have you. It's fun to talk about creativity on the podcast. Thanks for joining us on Considering Some Things, people, as always.
Guys. Yeah. Thank you very much, FM, for coming on. You are awesome. I adore you in many, many ways.
Melly D.
Hopefully you can catch this podcast on places like Stitcher.
Tune oh, in. You want me to keep talking?
No, I said tune in. Google Podcast.
Google Podcast, iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify.
Okay. There you go.
We're all
that's
over the
why
place.
I forgot Spotify. Thank you. And maybe Amazon.
And what should they do when they go to these places? They should
follow us, of course, and then leave us a really cool comment and review.
Yeah, tell us how dumb we are.
Yeah.
And we won't do anything with your comment then. But if you want to send negative comments, you can always go to www.consideringsomethings.com.
You can leave any kind of comments you want. We love that. Good, bad, or indifferent. Please be dull with your comments. We're very dull.
We are dull men. You've listened to Considering Some Things. You've wasted 45 minutes of your life, but it was good, wasn't it? Have a great time. We'll see you next week.
See you next week. Thanks.